Good morning, church. I absolutely love our youth and young adult services, and I've been heading up the young adults this year, and so Andrew's asked if I would share a short message from the manger for you this morning. So I'm going to do just that. And I found this really, really hard, actually, because we hear the story of Jesus being born every single year, and I thought, how can I say something different? How can I give you a message you've not heard before? So I've tried, and I wanted to start off with a story. So I'm a teacher. I absolutely love books, so this is quite me, but I don't know if anyone's ever seen it before, but it's a story called The Tale of Three Trees. So the pictures will appear on the background, and I'm going to try and turn this page like this. So, The Tale of the Three Trees. Once upon a mountaintop, three trees dreamed of what they wanted to become when they grew up. "I want to hold treasure," the first tree said. "I will be the most beautiful treasure chest in the whole world." "I want to be a strong sailing ship," the second tree said. "I will be the strongest ship in the world." "I don't want to leave this mountaintop at all," the third tree said. "I want to grow so tall that when people look at me, they will raise their eyes to God in heaven and think of him. I will be the tallest tree in the whole world." But something happened. One day, three woodcutters climbed the mountain with a... That's just what it's like in my classroom. I love it. With a swoop of the first man's axe, the first tree fell. With a swish of the second man's axe, the second tree fell. And with a slash of the third man's axe, can you guess? The third tree... It fell. The first tree rejoiced when the woodcutter brought him to a carpenter shop. But the busy carpenter was not thinking about treasure chests. Instead, his work-worn hands fashioned the tree into a feed box for animals. The second tree smiled when the woodcutter took him to a shipyard, but no mighty sailing ships were built that day. Instead, the once strong tree was made into a simple fishing boat. The third tree was confused when the woodcutter cut her into strong beams and left her in the lumberyard. "What happened?" the once tall tree wondered. "All I ever wanted to do was point towards God." Many, many days and nights passed, and the three trees nearly forgot their dreams. But one night, a golden starlight poured over the first tree as a young woman placed her newborn baby into the feed box. Suddenly, the first tree knew he was holding the greatest treasure in the world. One evening, a tired traveller and his friends crowded into an old fishing boat. When a storm arose, the second tree shuddered. But when the traveller stretched out his hands and said, "Peace," the storm stopped. And suddenly, the second tree knew he was carrying the King of Heaven and Earth. One Friday morning, the third tree was startled when her beams were yanked from the woodpile. She shivered when she was dragged through an angry crowd. She shuddered when soldiers nailed a man's hands to her. She felt ugly and harsh and cruel. But on Sunday morning, when the sun rose and the earth trembled with joy beneath her, the third tree knew God's love had changed everything. It had made the first tree beautiful. It had made the second tree strong. And every time people thought of the third tree, they would think of God. That was better than being the tallest tree in the world. Now, I absolutely love that story. And, you know, those trees, they had big dreams. And I think often we can have big dreams. And God wants us to dream like that. But God used them in ways they couldn't have ever imagined. And what I loved about that story is you could see it being woven into time. It was a perfect plan. So I'm talking about a message from the manger, and that was the first thing in the story. And I want to use a verse this morning, which is a really short one. It's a really simple one, and hopefully by the end of it, you might remember it a little bit more. But Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." And ultimately, the message from the manger was, and we've heard that word, Emmanuel, God, that means God with us. God came with us through the baby that was born in that manger. So, but why was it a manger? Why was that the place that he came? And There's lots of reasons. We saw in that text message when she said, oh, I've just laid my baby in a manger. I don't know if it's comfortable. But I believe, thinking of a manger, it was unexpected. You know, if you think of a king being born, it would be the last place you would find a king. But actually, I was thinking about this week, you wouldn't place any baby in that, never mind a king. And so it was really, really unexpected. It wasn't luxurious, it wasn't fit for a king or any baby for that matter. But it's exactly how God wanted it to be. It was that place of humility. And I wanted to highlight, so I've highlighted different sections of this verse. And the first bit is the Son of Man. And Jesus came humbly as a Son of Man, and he came to serve. So my first point is that from the manger, God wanted to show us that he wanted Jesus to serve. And Jesus was born fully man and fully God. And we were talking about that in Life Group, actually, a couple of weeks ago. And it really was blowing our minds. We were thinking, you know, that's crazy. He was all God, but he was all man as well. And if, as we look through Jesus' life, just as that story did, that message of serving people was throughout his life. From when he was born in a manger, that place of humility. He washed the disciples' feet. He rode on that donkey instead of a chariot. And then he died a death of a criminal. And it says in Philippians 2, verse 7, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And, you know, Jesus, he came to serve. Right from that point in that manger, he came to serve God and he came to serve us as well. And I think we can learn from that. That was Jesus' character, and I think we can take from that as well. You know, we're called to serve God and others' people as well. But why was it a manger? Well, actually, there was no room. And my dad talked about this last week. And this was my whole message was going to be about making room this Christmas. And then you spoke about it, so it wasn't that. So I just wanted to remind you, if you weren't here last week, we talked about making room at Christmas for Jesus. And whether that is coming to church on Christmas Day, whether that is telling your friends and inviting them to different events. But we are so busy. Everybody is. And it can be so easy to forget that, especially at Christmas when it's mega busy, but actually all year round, it's making space for Jesus. Actually, when he came into the world, there wasn't space for him. So even more so now, we need to be making that space. So moving on through the verse, it says, for the Son of Man has come to seek. So my second point is, so he came to serve, he came to seek. Look in the dictionary. Seek is a verb. That's a doing word. I'm very good at grammar now. I'm in year six. And so that's an action. And Jesus, he came and he was very actively looking for people to meet them where they were at and bring them out of that. And so that means to go in search of, to obtain, to go to. And Jesus did all of those things. He obtained followers. He went to people that needed healing. And one of the ways he reached those people was actually in boats. We've talked about that. And one of the key things there, he sought followers. So he looked for people that could help him. And I do think that applies to us. We need to go out and look for people who are going to surround us and help us spread the news of Jesus. And he built a team so they could serve, which is that first point. And I was really interested in why did he pick fishermen? And I was looking at the qualities of what a fisherman had to be like. First of all, they weren't the highest status. But they had that willingness to serve. And I think God does look for that. It doesn't matter what status you are. Not that he forgets people of high status, but he would use anybody as long as you're willing. But they had patience, because they'd have to wait for fish. They had determination to stay in the boat and to try and catch fish. They had instinct, and they had a willingness to learn. And I believe that Jesus picked them for those things because they had those characteristics. And together, through working together, they actually looked out for people and they actively went to see people. Jesus' purpose, and it says there, was to seek and to save. And for us, that's our purpose as well. Do we do that? Do we look for people that need healing? Do we look for people that need saving? When we talk about people that are lost, what does that actually mean? Well, it means apart from God, not being with God. And I believe that the lost don't just need finding, because what's the point? They need saving as well. And Jesus did just that. He served people. He served God. He looked, he was seeking people, but he actually saved them ultimately. And I think at Christmas, we can forget the cross, because we're so focused on the lovely story, and it's amazing, and it is a beautiful story. But actually, the cross that we think about Easter time is so relevant to Christmas time as well. By the cross, Jesus, he saved us. And people say, well, what do I need saving from? Putting it simply, hell, living without God forever. And I think sometimes we don't say that, and that is the reality of it. But because Jesus died on that cross, that was a punishment of the day. So it wasn't anything completely different. It was just a custom of the day, but it was a real ultimate punishment. And something I thought was really interesting looking at the beginning of the Bible is that Adam, the reason we were, you know, separated from God was because of Adam taking that apple from a tree. But through a tree, through a wooden cross, we were saved and reconnected with God. And I just find that so, so beautiful. And so, you know, our young adults today, they defined a saviour. We say that word saviour all the time. And it's actually understand what it means. It means, you know, he's there to redeem, to rescue. And through that cross, through the payment of our wrongdoings and our sin, we can be reconnected with God. C.S. Lewis, a great author, said, "The Son of God became a man to enable men to become the sons of God." The Son of God became a man to enable men to become the sons of God. And thinking of that, you know, that, like I said, Adam and the tree and the apple, that disconnected us from God. But God had this plan that was woven through time, just like for those trees, and he wanted that relationship with us. So I think the message from manger is really simple. It's, you know, it's that verse, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save which was lost." It was God giving us Jesus as a man to serve, to find us, to seek, and then to save us. And all of those things together mean that we can be with God. And I think maybe you already know that. Maybe you already have a relationship with God, but there's different parts that maybe we need to work on. Maybe we need to be seeking other people. Maybe we need to be serving. But ultimately, it's reaching out to others so they can reconnect with God as well. Because without that cross, they'd still be in that place that Adam was in. And so I'm just going to pray. We're going to sing a song. So I'm just going to invite the musicians up. We're going to sing a song called Emmanuel, which is, like I said right at the beginning, that's God with us. And we're going to be reminded of that. So I'd love if you could join with us in worship. But I just want to pray over those 3 points. Dear God, I just thank you that you have a perfect plan that has been woven through time and that still continues today. God, I thank you that you, like Daniel said right at the beginning, that you are relevant today and that you you make sense even today, even those things that maybe we can't connect with. And I thank you that you did send Jesus to be with us and that you still are with us today. I pray for people that feel they may need to serve you, God, or maybe serve other people, God. I pray for those that want to seek you, God, even more. And I pray that right now you'll connect with people to find you, Jesus. I also pray that this time of year we can make room, that we can go out and talk to friends, talk to family, God, that don't know you, so ultimately that people can be reconnected and saved by you. So we thank you for the cross, we thank you for the manger, God, and we thank you for being here with us today. Amen.